Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing is brought to you by Influential, a strategic consultancy that takes the guesswork out of influencer marketing for your brand. We provide much-needed strategically crafted frameworks on how to implement influencer campaigns specific to your brand needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing. And as usual, I'm not flying solo. Hey, Anne.
Hey, Cinti. How are you?
I'm great. Where are you catching us from?
Well, since we're all in quarantine, you're catching me from my bedroom in my Batman shirt this morning.
You sound like you're in a closet or some confined space.
I'm sorry, but we are. We all are right now.
To everybody at home, or you're probably catching us from home, thank you so much for joining us as usual. And as usual, we've got a very special guest. Her name is Busisi Weskosana. She is founder of Azani Impulse Management. And today she's unpacking the role and the way marketing is functioning in this coronavirus space or in this.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Just a bit anxious, but good.
Thank you so much for time out to speak to our audience this morning. Yeah. And I think let's just jump right into it. Tell us a bit more about yourself and what you do, what Azani Impulse Management is all about. And yeah, let's take it from there.
So I am a social media manager. I've been in the industry for about 7 years, working in all industries, from, you know, mining to tiles, fast moving consumer goods, in social media for business. And then I recently started my own agency called Azani Impulse Management. And what we do is that we basically help influencers and brands sort of build collaboratives in a studio.
All right.
And yeah, and I literally just started a new job. I mean, in this climate, the agency, we sort of have to look at what we can do amidst the COVID virus crisis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you so much.
Busy, obviously, thank you. We know that we are all anxious at this point, and I think it's not only impacting us personally, but also brands, obviously. We can't deny that COVID-19 or the coronavirus is here. And unfortunately, it also reached our shores. And it obviously must impact and impair brands at this time, especially when it comes to their marketing activities. So my question to you is, to what extent in the last couple of weeks have we seen it impacting certain brands' marketing activities, especially ones you work with?
So, I mean, one of the biggest challenges is panic. Everybody is so anxious that nobody really understands how far we are literally in uncertain times.
Absolutely.
And in terms of having some sort of strategy, it poses such a difficult dilemma in terms of how do you then strategize to say, this is what we are going to do when you don't necessarily have timelines. So one of the biggest challenges on top of that is the fact that consumers are in a panic.
Yeah,
and you can't necessarily talk to people who are panicking. Yeah. So it's really, and you know, this is the time for brands to also sort of provide information and education, but you cannot also educate on something that you yourself as a brand don't understand. It's going to impact us in a hectic way. I mean, now that we are under quarantine, brands need to sort of figure out how to still stay top of mind and actually drive sales.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and is it all possible for brands to stick their heads in the sand and carry on as if it's business as usual? Are all marketing plans in the field still relevant, or we just head for the hills and forget about this whole thing?
No, I think it's very necessary that brands still be top of mind. One cannot shy from the fact that we are in a crisis, but it's really all your team efforts collaborating in an effort to sort of figure out how do we still drive brand awareness? How do we still drive sales? How do we still have conversations with our consumers? How do we have loyalty, trust, affinity, brand affinity,
yeah,
and obviously purchasing intent?
Because, Chrissy, I'll tell you what, all over my social media still, especially on Twitter, it's business as usual for brands and their scheduled ads are just going out. And I'm thinking from a comms perspective and my PR experience, just stop it. You need to start rethinking those messaging now. I'm telling you now, the customers don't care about your party that you're having at the weekend or going to buy. People, like to say, are in a panic and they want some direction. And isn't it better now to just kind of give that to them through kind of empathy and messaging than saying, like, pushing your brand onto me?
No, it's definitely very important. I mean, messaging is going to be the biggest shift. And the great equalizer of the COVID-19 is the need for connection.
Yeah.
The messaging needs to be genuine and it has to be community driven. Otherwise it won't connect. You need to provide your consumers with some sort of comfort that even during this crisis, they are still your priority.
Correct.
And if people are going to carry on, especially brands with, you know, generic messaging, trying to have marketing efforts that don't necessarily translate in this period, they're going to fall flat because you have to adhere or rather sort of comfort consumers in spaces where they feel the most anxiety.
Yeah. 100%.
So it's education. It's also a bit of enjoyment, providing entertainment, but also providing comfort and a sense of community and connectedness. So if you are going to be sending messaging that's completely disconnected to everybody else, they're going to lose you, especially when it's time for recovery, because they will remember how you behaved during the crisis.
Exactly. So brands need to be able to read the room.
Yes.
You need to read the room. I know the biggest conversation right now is, do we really need influencers?
Yeah.
In a space where budgets are being frozen and people are really just sort of trying to figure out from economic perspective and financial perspective, how do we then sustain or ride out this wave of uncertainty? But for me, the biggest thing is to actually use influencers. One of the biggest ways we can actually leverage off this whole crisis is using the influencers audience, because they have earned that trust, they have earned that connection, they have a sense of community. You know, you can still be part of conversation.
I 100% agree. And I think to your point, many brands have had to obviously cancel events, their media drops, pop-up shops and activations that is so part and parcel of a media strategy or a marketing strategy rather. And they have to start looking at other places or other ways to reach people so that people don't have to be there physically. So to your point, Percy, many brands had to have cancelled events, media drops, pop-up shops, activations, and so forth. And that is so part and partial of what we come to know as what part of your marketing strategy, right? Including your influencers and everything else. And now a lot of brands will have to shift tactics to fit more digitally, because that's where people now are. They are on their screens, they're at home, they're alone most of the time. How would you shift those tactics digitally, obviously also including influencer marketing, because we know, like you said, they've already got that audience that is willing and watching them right now. But then also in terms of messaging, because you also can't just shift those tactics and have your old messaging amongst this pandemic.
No, I think we are in a state and the virus has also, you know, profoundly changed consumer behavior and their shopping habits. And this will have obviously long-term repercussions. It is very necessary that people also go back to what social media for business was when it started out. I think influencer marketing and all these tactics have sort of been used as a crutch because they're easy.
Yeah.
But it's now going back to those lessons that we all had to learn when we started doing influencer marketing and social media for marketing. When to talk to people, how do we talk to people, what strategies and what messaging are we driving in terms of content, really looking at where are people spending majority of their time right now in terms of digital platforms. introducing new ways of actually communicating outside of a caption, image, and link. How do we still drive traffic to the website? Again, influencers are going to help a lot with this, but I think also brands need to move away from trying to sell themselves and really just tap into the lives of the people they're talking to. I mean, right now, you know, the attention will be on online shopping. E-commerce is going to be big.
Absolutely.
But you cannot sell me a product if you don't show me the value of it. And right now, you know, things such as, you know, quick, easy meals to make at home, how to entertain and teach my kids, you know, saving money and financial wellness and other emerging thoughts and anxieties of the consumer has to actually be addressed. You have to create a relationship. Now is not the time for you to sell. Now is the time for them to actually have conversations, actually listen to their consumers and listen to the audience online. What are their communities saying in terms of their biggest challenges?
Yeah.
And in that, they can get real-time insights on how to actually address this. If majority of people are complaining about the fact that they are bored at home, it means that outside of TikTok, outside of Netflix, outside of literally every single thing that we could possibly do at home, there's still a need for something else.
Mm.
And you have to find what that need is. And people want to be connected.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is people want to be connected. So you need to meet them in their homes. You know, it's a journey of from when you wake up to when you go to sleep. How do we fit into their lives?
Yeah. And while people are in isolation, social media is in a boom in activity, primarily on Instagram and TikTok. Some research says been a 22% increase in Instagram campaign impressions from the last quarter, and a 27% jump in average engagement on TikTok from just about Feb to March. Looking at that, don't you think digital media, including influencer marketing, is now more relevant than ever?
No, at this point, digital marketing is the one platform that will save us all.
Yeah.
It is really our saving grace because it still provides an opportunity for people to connect, even in isolation.
Yeah.
It allows brands and consumers to still connect. We are still able to share information. We are still able to sort of understand what is going on in the state of our country, especially the economy.
Yeah.
This is where, you know, certain things such as Uber and Bolt will then have to also just find ways to immerse themselves in digital marketing, which is e-commerce. They are going to have to shift from, you know, just transporting people to actually being a delivery service where they deliver food, they deliver online purchases, and obviously, you know, taking us from one point to another within the curfew rules. But at this point, digital is the one platform where all the budgets should actually go into. You cannot be focusing your budgets on traditional media. Yes, people watch TV. Yes, people listen to the radio. But you cannot put that much into it because it's one-way communication. And that's where you need digital. Digital has to be two-way communication where it's a conversation. It's not, you know, messaging that is pushed onto me, but it's messaging that I can receive and actually respond to.
Exactly.
And you spoke about our continued need to stay connected and taking that shift in behavior into consideration. How do you think brands should connect with their customers in a new way?
I think the biggest way for me, and it's not necessarily new, but it's influencer marketing, and it is influencer marketing done right. I don't know if you've really seen the climate before we went into this crisis. Influencer marketing had started to sort of filter into billboard and one-way communication where even in terms of authenticity, in terms of creativity, you know, everybody just went out to take a beautiful picture and came back and gave us a hashtag and kept it moving.
Yeah. Everyone wanted to be a Kardashian, didn't you know?
So now is the time for influencer marketing to actually reposition itself. This is the time where influencers reposition themselves in terms of their offering to brands.
Absolutely.
It is very important that you not only leverage on the relationships that you have established, but also keep it very authentic. I think it's also the need for us to show vulnerability.
Yeah.
I think everybody is scared. Everybody is anxious. And you know, I don't need the brand to be the hero. I need a brand that I can sort of resonate and relate to.
Yeah.
And when we do recover, I can see that, you know, even in adversity, we were able to sort of recover from this together, you know.
Yeah.
So social media has allowed brands to also be on the ground. And being on the ground means you cannot be on a pedestal.
No.
It means you cannot make it seem like you have it all figured out.
No, but yeah,
sometimes it's okay to be vulnerable.
Yeah, I absolutely think that this is the time for social media and influencer marketing to shine and to literally prove itself finally to those people who are still not buying into it and show them.
Exactly.
But this is what we're doing. And just to add to Cinti's stats earlier, Facebook is also in another study. They've now shown since all of this started happening, their ad spend and cost per click engagement has gone down. People are looking for that organic conversations. And that's where they're seeing the engagement coming from. And again, influencers who's built those audiences, that's where we're at.
I think it comes back to the point I've always made across all platforms where I have an opportunity to talk about this. A lot of people then tend to forget that just because you have a high number of following does not necessarily means that you have a community.
Thank you.
So
popularity versus influence.
But it was not
us. Exactly. Because, I mean, I think the misconception is because you have a high following, that automatically translates into influence.
Exactly.
But you see that the spike in engagement then tends to be lower with people who have high numbers because, again, you do not have a community. I mean, as much as they would be able to create content, but, you know, you need to create content that is persuasive to help brands in their digital efforts and, you know, really help them sustain loyalty and purchasing trust, intent, and really just giving people a sense of community. Right now, brands have been using people with such high numbers.
Mm.
And yes, from a brand awareness perspective, that is great.
Yeah.
But we are in crisis. And brand awareness should be the last thing on your mind.
100%.
Right now is the time for long-term relationships with your consumers so that when we go back to normal life, again, you are top of mind.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. So I think that leads perfectly into my next question where a lot of people are obviously isolated away from family, away from friends for the next 21 days at least. So people, we've seen with the stats, are turning to social media to kind of be their connection, like you say, because we still, even though in isolation, we're still human. We want that connection with people. So influencers are going to become a lot of people's best friends during this time, I think. But how do brands at this time, like you said earlier, instead of just doing the generic caption with a pretty picture, how do they actually make that influencer becoming million consumers' friends their best friend? How do they do that?
I mean, if you look overseas, brands have really turned to influencers to sort of help them in their marketing efforts. However, in South Africa, they've sort of shied away from it because nobody wants. I guess it's really affiliation and. You know, not wanting to use the one influencer who might say something wrong during this campaign period, during the COVID virus crisis. But it's really moving away from making influencers seem like they're so exclusive and on a pedestal, but really, you know, using influencers again to start conversations that again allow everybody to be vulnerable, that show how the brands were able to, in these times of anxiety, sort of offer comfort and connectedness. It's really giving messaging that tells a story that evokes emotion and also builds trust.
It's going back to what you're saying, going back to basics and become storytellers again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, I know there was a time where people used to say content is king, and then the shift was what you do with the content is now king. But again, we're coming back to that. Content is king. And in establishing content, we all know that the one thing that always resonates is in evoking emotion and telling a story.
100%.
I think it'll also allow the creatives behind the brands to really tap outside of the normal and really go for those campaigns that have always been put at the back because not right now, Sipho, or not right now, Monk, it won't work right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to revisit those ideas, those campaigns, and see how we can actually make them work in light of this crisis. It's really also tapping outside what is deemed to be normal, what seems to work, and really trying to, you know, push the boundaries a bit, be outside of the box. People are looking for messaging and storytelling and really reading the room, understanding your audience right now. If people are anxious, at least give them something that just sort of distracts them. And outside of them working and everything, they are entertained, they are educated, and they actually informed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Most of you know that Influential is our podcast sponsor. But did you know that my co-host Anne heads up the agency? And that is the first ever boutique agency in South Africa that specializes in developing strategy for influencer marketing. Anne and her team are experts in the field and have spent years honing their skills and knowledge about influencer marketing and at some of the country's biggest PR and media agencies. The moment that you think you might want an influencer campaign, make sure to call or email them first, because without strategy, you might not have the outcomes that you would like and are looking for. In addition to talking all things influence on this podcast, and also puts together the fantastic Influential newsletter that comes out every month. And this is another way for you to keep up to date with the industry. The link to latest newsletter is in the show notes. Check it out, and if you like, please subscribe. Anne's contact details are also on there. Let's keep the conversation flowing.
So you did touch on some of the aspects that are coming up in my next question, but I think it's quite worth a revisit and expansion. In your opinion, do you think that the biggest objective for brands during this time will be more about building relationships, cultivating brand love with their consumers, or potential customers rather than driving trial? And why I ask this is I want to know if you think this will pay in the long run. When people are able to leave their homes and use brands and products that can be experienced in isolation?
I think the biggest objectives will definitely be building relationships. Because remember, when you build trust and you build loyalty and brand affinity, you ultimately drive the intent to purchase. The one thing, though, is that in this period, I don't necessarily think that a lot of brands are really focusing on what do we do outside of this when we do recover. And that's the aim. That's where the aim should be, because again, what people do is we look for people who hold positions of power to sort of give us comfort that when we get out of this, life will go back to normal, or there will be a sense of moving forward and getting over it. But really, brands need to also give us direction in terms of when we do move forward, this is how we're going to move forward. But during this crisis, this is what normal looks like, and this is how we can help you with what normal looks like right now, because life feels like it's being cancelled. So how do we give people a sense of hope when they feel like, I don't know how to do this, this is not normal to me, how do I do this? So this is where, again, you build that relationship to say, you know what, as much as you are unable to go outside, this is what you can do inside, and this is the product or service that we can offer you to also help you sort of create your safe haven during this crisis. Isolation does not have to feel like punishment.
No, exactly. So then, in light of that, how important do you think it is that brands, obviously you need to relook their strategies. I think that we've spoken about that at length right now. But how important is for them to now to relook and say, it's time to actually develop a proper influence marketing strategy for now and for when things go back to so-called normal?
I think it's very important. Like you touched on earlier when you said there's certain tactics that have been used. And I think those tactics have also just been a copy and paste of what other people have been seeing.
Absolutely.
I think brand managers and account managers really need to sit down and really understand what is influencer marketing and what role does it play in all their marketing efforts. You see, you have a lot of PR managers right now or publicists who are turning to influencer marketing when they don't necessarily understand the core essential need for it and what it drives. Remember, influencer marketing drives consideration. Mm-hmm. In the marketing channel, in all your tools that you use, you literally drive consideration to purchase or consideration to take the next step to look at, okay, now that I'm aware of this brand, I can go to the website and actually look at all the other elements that I require before I can make a purchasing decision.
Yeah.
So they need to start looking at what is the core effort and what is the core need for influencer marketing? Who has genuine, authentic relationships with people, and how can we actually build on that instead of telling influencers to change who they are to meet your requirements. Mm-hmm. You are now going to look at influencers and they're going to give you direction in terms of, this is who I have in my audience. This is how they respond to content. This is when they are likely to listen to me. And when I use video as opposed to an image, I get a better response in terms of engagement. They are going to have to look at how to optimize their social media pages as well. So this is going to challenge everybody from from both sides. Influencers up the game in terms of their offering, in terms of how to actually be resilient and pivot and be need from. You cannot go to somebody and tell them, I need you, but you're going to do this. No, the relationship has to turn around where you are taking direction from the influencer because they know their audience better than you do. Everybody needs to start looking at efforts in terms of, again, how do we build those connections? How do we leverage off those relationships? And it's going to go beyond doing press drops and making people look cool. It's really going to make people either seem very authentic and genuine and invested and building a sense of community. And then there's the flip side where the people who are sitting on a pedestal and then creating FOMO. And right now, FOMO won't work.
No, exactly. And I think you reiterated in one of our previous podcast guests, Brett Field also said, it's time for brands to start listening to influencers and bring them in the strategy so that you can understand what their audience respond to because they know them better than anyone else and actually collaborate with them properly so you can have authentic communications and community, like you say.
No, definitely. And I think also, you know, I tweeted something last night that got me in so much trouble.
Ooh, I didn't see it. What was it?
So I said that, you know, the COVID virus is going to expose who are the real influencers.
Ooh,
and I'm very excited.
That's cold,
and
cold.
People came for me to say, I'm being so mean. And
that's hilarious.
I got into trouble, and this is me after a couple of drinks, so I'm like, okay, let's sober up.
But I think you're absolutely right. This is a time where we're going to see what content really works, which influencers are actually not just popular, but who actually have influence, who's driving those link clicks, who's driving people to certain messaging. I don't know why you got in trouble for that.
I think the trouble is that, you know, the sentiment around influencer marketing right now, especially on Twitter, is that you either like them or you hate them.
Yeah.
And if you hate them, you're going to spew all kinds of vile and malicious things. Because you're hating outside of the club, basically. So, you know, the response I got was mostly from people who don't necessarily follow me and have not been following my journey. Because those who know me understood the context of my tweet.
Absolutely.
I was basically saying that as much as right now it seems like people are not getting any sort of influencer marketing gigs outside of doctors and really popular people who can actually drive information at a large scale, what it's going to do is that it's going to show us who are the people who are able to create content with limited resources, people who can create content without actually having to go outside. The real influencers, by virtue of who they are, will find themselves being very influential and very popular, even with really low numbers. But it's really also for the influencer to learn how to pivot and be resilient.
Yeah.
And also, how do we use TikTok in a manner where it makes you stand out? Because everybody's on TikTok right now, but what's the one thing that you get to do that makes you stand out?
Yeah.
You know, I was speaking to one of my influencers that I manage, and she's working with an alcohol brand, and they want her to cook. And I said to her, okay, cool. And if you're going to cook, I think it would be smart that you start introducing music. Play a bit of music in the background, and then go back to your timeline and say, this is my Spotify cook
makeup
for this for this session that I'm having with this brand. And then you can actually then get the attention of Spotify in the, during this time to say, what is a COVID crisis ultimate playlist?
Very smart.
You know, it's really thinking outside of the norm. Creating a Netflix and chill movie playlist where you say, these are the movies you can watch that actually teach you about certain viruses around the world. These are the movies you can, or documentaries that you can watch to upskill. This is what you can listen to. These are my podcasts, my favorite podcasts, in terms of upskilling, or rather learning a couple of things, you know, learn how to make tables, upskill. There's so many things, and influencers have to drive the conversation.
Absolutely. And I also think, to your point, that your micro and nano influencers might see more impact during this time.
No, they definitely will. They definitely will, because remember, right now, a lot of influencers, and especially the bigger ones, used to sort of create content because they were paid to do it.
Yeah.
Where the smaller, the nano influencers still create content regardless of the fact that they're being paid or not. And they are able to actually create content that is meaningful and has a really powerful message, because for them, it's not commissioned work. There's a lot of thought that goes into it. There's no brief. So everything that they're doing is their own intellectual property, and they are able to actually create proper messaging that doesn't necessarily come from a brand manager in a brief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are obviously in new territory, and a difficult one at that. And trust me, there is going to be a snake oil salesman brand out there trying to sell.
Yeah.
In other words, using its people to, or using influencers to just go out and market. Do you think this could lead to brand reputation issues, influencer backlash, and is it okay to support it as well?
I think it's going to be very important for brands to obviously use influencers to sort of go back into normal life. The reason for this is because when we went into isolation, everybody, before people started wearing masks and gloves, you looked for one person who's doing it, and it sort of convinces you to do it, right? And you sort of feel normal, and you don't think, oh, I'm overreacting, or I'm being paranoid. The same thing is going to happen when we have to go back outside. You are going to look to other people first to go outside. It's similar to, you know, the marketing purchasing decision.
Yeah.
There's early adopters, and then there's the laggards, and then the ones in the middle. So you're going to have to sort of use your influencers to be your early minority, and they're going to have to sort of convince people to go outside. However, how you do that will be important, because you cannot just pay somebody 15,000 rand and tell people, oh, go outside, be fine now.
No,
you
exactly.
know, it's really creating, it's really them really perhaps taking us through a day where they go out the first time, and what precautions they've learned to take, and how they still going to continue to take those precautions, and how lifestyles outside of that, evoking emotion, creating trust, and also just how to navigate through that. And the brand can either be part of the conversation, but they cannot be the main, they can't be the main event, you know?
Yes.
You can't have a coming out party sponsored by a particular brand and you feed people alcohol and free drinks and you give them a nice goodie bag to go back home so they can post. You have to create campaigns that show us, how do we go back into normal life and navigate that? Because again, we don't know when that is and how that's going to look like. Are we going to all be sick or not? And if we're all going to be sick, what extra precautions do we have to take in an effort to go back into normal life? We have to talk about how we were impacted from a financial standpoint. Did you lose weight? Did you gain weight? There's so many factors into this that have to be considered when you actually lead people to go outside again. And the brands would have to be very smart.
Yeah.
The old tactics are not going to work.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the brands that are coming all out during this predicament. What about those that keep quiet? Is there value in steering away from controversy, so to speak, and just saying nothing about what's happening now?
I think the one thing that brands will always get right is education and information. But if you cannot be part of the conversation, there's no need. I think it's very important to be able to discern if you can be part of a conversation or not, because you'll also find that the brands who are being vocal are not doing it right.
Yeah.
So you seem to think you could have just said nothing.
No,
you
exactly.
You could have just said nothing. But
yeah.
But it's also very important that, you know, the ones that are being quiet also just maybe address why they're being quiet.
Mm.
Again, coming back to vulnerability and say, coming out as a brand and say, you know, during this crisis, we feel that whatever we have to offer at this current moment is really not necessary. We are going to shut down operations and we're going to really look after our stuff, and they're going to go home and actually recuperate, and perhaps they will upskill, and we have this amazing program where all our employees are going through this program and they're learning this and this and that in an effort to have something to offer when we do come back to better service you, especially in the services space, to better service you, our customers.
Yeah.
But outside of that, we're not going to have any sort of conversations. You know, there's always a way around it, but, you know, everybody does the lazy, everyday copy and paste marketing.
And I do
if
think
I'm right now saying that my company is shutting down, my comms will come from a perspective where I'm saying, now that we're shutting down because we're not perhaps getting any influencer marketing gigs, we're going to look at how we can upskill all our influencers in terms of learning how to design, learning how to edit, learning how to actually do photography in an effort to be ready for those gigs when they do come out.
Yeah. I think it comes down to as well, if you're not going to add value to a conversation, then rather don't.
Yes. Honestly, it's really that simple. Learn to discern when and when you should say something. And if you have nothing to say, that's also okay.
That's fine.
There's so much messaging that's going out that if you don't say anything, trust and believe me, no one will say, hey, why are you so quiet?
No, exactly. It's always the opposite.
Yeah. It's always the opposite.
Brittany, we're almost done with our amazing conversation with you. I think we've learned a lot from you today, and I think it would also add a lot of value to the conversation that's out there at the moment for brands. But for anyone who's listening, what would be your top three influencer tips for anyone who's considering using them during this pandemic right now?
So, okay, my top three to the brands is look for authentic and genuine influencers. And I think in light of what happened this week with somebody stealing somebody else's IP, really dig deep and do your audits.
Yes, that was awful. I saw that playing out and I was like, girlfriend, this is a big deal.
Yeah, so the brands really need to look for authentic and genuine people who are brand aligned to whatever messaging that they're trying to get out there, and really use people who have the same brand pillars as yours. I think in influencer marketing, everybody forgets that branding is so important.
Mm.
Because when you use somebody who has similar brand pillars to yours, you do not have to worry about a crisis comm situation where somebody steals somebody's picture, because you're using somebody who has similar values to you as a brand. And, you know, stealing IPs and whatnot is not something you should be worried about. I think people need to also focus on messaging that is very authentic, very connected, and really provides comfort. And lastly, you know, be part of our lives. If you're going to use influencers in such a manner that will make them feel like they're part of our lives. They understand our struggles. They understand our challenges. And then for the influencers, now is the time to pivot. Now is the time to actually look at your assets. Outside of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, what else can you use that will resonate and actually touch people's lives and actually, you know, again, that earned trust and a sense of community? Look at those platforms and look at your offering. If you are in the travel space and all you've been doing is amazing pictures, perhaps it's the time for you to actually look into the history and culture of those places that you've been going to and actually tap into that, because all your content has been pretty pictures. Now, there's an education element of it, looking at history, looking at culture, looking at the food, really investing in that content. And then lastly, you know, have fun. You know, everybody is so on edge right now. Yeah. So entertain us. Have fun. Have fun. Have fun with the content. Nobody is regulating you. Have fun. Play with it. You have our attention. We are focused. We are listening to you. We're spending 24 hours on the internet. Have fun.
Great tip.
Where can our listeners connect with you on social media and everywhere else?
So you can follow my personal page. It's at Miss Manager_, and then you can follow our business page, which is Azanian_Pulse. And that's all. I don't think you should go to my Instagram. My Instagram is just full of shoes.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll include all your handles on our show notes. And then for Kick-Ass Influencer Marketing Strategy, where do they find you?
Yeah, so we are on LinkedIn and Twitter at InfluentialSA. And then my personal ones are at Anne Dotty, all across the board.
And for conversations that are extended on influencer marketing?
Please follow us on Facebook, Coffee Conversations About Influencer Marketing. And like and share and subscribe. Be amazing.
Yeah. Miss Manager, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great, great session. And the one thing that came out for me is brands need to start reading the room and adding value, and being relevant.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us. And Anne, thank you so much too.
Yeah, thank you guys. Pussy, thank you so much. It was great insights.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Everybody else at home, we love you, and please do take care. We will survive. We've always survived, and we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys.